You know, I get glimpses every once in a while of our past here at Northside. We really haven't even been here a full year. You know, we've just been here since November. It's almost a year in this building, but not quite yet. And I remember when we first started, we're like, we have a parking lot, right? Because isn't that a rare thing in the city of Chicago to have a parking lot? Like, even for a store to have a parking lot. So we're like, let's not park in it. Let's make it open for all of our visitors so that people come and they can park in the parking lot. And for the longest time, I think there was only one or two cars in the parking lot because we were leaving it open, and it was open. But this morning, I looked outside, and it's like, man, you better get here early at Northside or you won't have a place to park in the parking lot. Praise God, right? There's a big parking lot next door, which we keep praying for. Who knows what God's going to do? But it's so exciting to see what he does and the way that he answers prayers, because so many of you are here to an answer to prayer. So this morning, we are starting off a brand new series here at Northside. And the series is based off of Luke 11, 1 through 4, and Matthew 6, 9 through 13, or what the church commonly calls the Lord's Prayer. So I'd like to start by reading it together. So please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. By a show, I'm so excited for the next part. By a show of hands, how many people already have that prayer memorized? Awesome. If you don't feel bad. That's kind of what we're going to be working on together, right? In some form or another, right? Because you hear lots of, you know, I said thy, because when I remembered it, I said it with thy. I remember memorizing this prayer when I grew up as a little boy, because I grew up Catholic. And this was one of the very first prayers that I remember memorizing. Although, I don't think I memorized it correctly at the time. I was just, you know, had it memorized enough that I could say it with a group of people and not get caught. You know, kind of like how some people memorize song lyrics. As long as you're singing with the radio, you're fine. But the minute you're singing by yourself, everybody knows you got the wrong words. You guys know what I'm talking about. There are common ones, too. I'm going to put a couple up here on the screen. Let's just see, you know, to get in the spirit, if you can recognize these songs. Here are some more commonly misheard lyrics. This one was so popular, they made a T-shirt about it. Anybody know the name of that song? Just shout it out. Tiny Dancer, thank you, Don. Yeah, hold me closer. Tiny Dancer, right? All right, how about this one? Yeah. What is it? Abba, yeah, with the Dancing Queen song. Okay, this next one, I didn't even know what to put up there for a picture. You know, who got that? That was good, yes! Yeah, I won't tell you which person in the Hempen family used to sing this song, Ooh, Babaretta, but it happened. Yeah, I think the same thing happens with the Lord's Prayer, right? Especially when kids are memorizing it. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to show you some commonly misheard lyrics from the Lord's Prayer, and if you know what it is, you just go ahead and say the real thing. You can just shout it out loud. All right. Lord's Prayer. But deliver us some email. Yes, but deliver us from evil. All right, how about this one? Give us the steak and daily bread. Some of you are going to start praying it this way from now on, I know, right? That would be pretty good. And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Which, if you think about this one, it's actually pretty poetic, right? People put trash in our baskets, the sin in our lives, right? But this is I grew up Catholic, that's what we said, trespasses, right? All right, and how about this one? Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Like I said, I remember as a child sitting in church and being so, so entranced and wrapped up in it. I loved it when it came to the trespasses part because of all the S's that were in a row together. You know, where it says, forgive us our trespasses, wait for it, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And as a little boy, I would mouth the entire prayer until we got to that one part, and then I would just say the S's as loud as possible. Trespass against us. It was, I don't know why, it was just my thing. I thought it was funny. I was bored in church. It was my little way of rebelling, who knows. But clearly I was not concerned with, or maybe I didn't understand the meaning behind the Lord's Prayer, what I had already memorized. And that's really the danger about anything that we memorize, isn't it? To not understand what it is we're saying. Now, I'm not knocking rote memorization, because I think we all know a lot of adults who memorized scripture as a child, and although we didn't know what it means, didn't know what it meant at the time, we know what it means now, and we use it that way. But what's important is that somewhere along the way, we have to take the time to think through exactly what it means. So that's what this series is aimed at doing. Taking the time to think about what the Lord's Prayer means, this commonly memorized prayer, because it is really so rich with meaning for our lives. And hopefully, as we dig into this prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples how to pray, we too will learn to pray, or we'll learn to enrich our own prayer lives, right? I mean, this passage that we're going to be studying together over the next several weeks has quite a bit for everybody, no matter where you are in the whole prayer continuum thing. You know, if you're not quite yet a believer yet, you might not know the way to pray that Jesus taught his disciples, and that's okay. We're glad you're here. If you're a new believer, you might just be getting a handle on this whole prayer thing. And if you've been a believer for quite a while and you've heard some of this stuff before, perhaps your prayer life is not always where it should be. I know my prayer life is not always where it should be. But don't feel badly. The plan for this sermon series is not to guilt us into prayer, but to simply help grow our prayer life no matter where we are. Because I don't think prayer comes naturally for all of us, right? I mean, even if the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, had to ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And they were with him every single day, morning, noon, and night. So I'm sure they heard him pray all the time. If they needed help learning how to pray, it only makes sense that we would need help as well. And just like we work on any relationship that's important to us, we have to be purposeful about our prayer life. Right? We can't forget that in this relationship that we have with God, prayer is how we communicate and keep in touch with him. And when we pray, it's like calling a friend on the phone, having a face-to-face conversation. Those of you that don't have that number, I'll give it to you later. It's like a face-to-face conversation. You know, it's how we keep a part of each other's lives. So if we desire God to be an active part of our daily lives, then we need to have an active daily prayer life. So let's take a look at how Jesus started teaching his disciples how to pray. Luke chapter 11, 1 through 2. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, this is how you should pray. And then he went into the Lord's Prayer. So here's the scene, right? They're all there together, and Jesus is somewhere off to the side, right? I'm guessing. I mean, I guess he could have been praying in the middle of them, but he's spending some time with his own father, so I'm guessing he's off to the side. And they look at him, and they say, we need to know how to do that. Right? Because there must have been something about the way that Jesus prayed that must have been so amazing. They wanted to not just do it, but they wanted to do it his way. Because they already had their own prayers memorized. They went to temple together. But this was different. Really, it must have been amazing. It was witnessing all three parts of the Trinity together. Remember that after Jesus was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist, Scripture tells us that he was filled completely with the Holy Spirit. So when you look at Jesus praying like this, what they were watching is God the Son praying to God the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. That had to be powerful. Makes sense. I want to know how to do that. So they ask him, Jesus, teach us how to do that thing. And he says, sure, no problem. Here's how you pray. Then he prays. Now, what I want us to notice first is that Jesus doesn't say, oh, I'm so glad you asked. Thank you. There are many different forms that you can pray. Some people prefer this model. There's acts and confession and thanksgiving. He doesn't say, you know what? If you're a little more formal, why don't you try the Lectio Divina? He doesn't go through that. Right? He doesn't talk about components to prayer. He just starts praying. Because prayer is something that's caught and not taught. Right? I mean, I remember the first time I joined a church where there was an expectation to pray out loud, and I freaked out. You know, I got to do what? So anytime I heard someone pray out loud, and I was in that group, and I knew I was coming around in the circle to me, I would take mental notes of the words and the phrases that people were using, because somewhere I had to change them just that much so that it would be okay that I used the same ones. Which I'm not necessarily recommending, right? Because, I mean, as we are joining someone in prayer, we should be focused on not their sentence structure and their words, but on the one that they're praying to. But we do learn to pray by being around people that pray and by praying ourselves. I mean, no matter how awkward it might be in the beginning, there is no better way to learn how to pray than just to pray. Just like there's no better way to learn how to have a conversation with someone than to start a conversation with someone. So, back to the scripture here in Luke. Jesus asked them, or was asked to teach to pray, and he starts going into the Lord's Prayer. So let's look at the first part of this prayer we're focusing on today, which is our Father in heaven. Now, we already noted, Jesus did not give them a diagram. He did not give them a model to start with. He just went straight to God the Father. You want to know how to pray? You say, our Father in heaven. And I think he did that because sometimes we can become too focused on the words that we use to pray instead of being focused on the one that we're praying to. I think the point Jesus is making is, you want to pray? Go straight to God. Go straight to the Father. Because focusing too much on our words when we pray is like focusing on the windshield when we drive, right? If we're just focused on our windshield when we drive, chances are we're not going to make it where we're trying to go. We have to look through the windshield when we drive to see where we are going, just like we have to look through the words of our prayer to see our Heavenly Father. I mean, beautiful words are nice. You want to have a great sounding prayer, that would be wonderful, but that's not what it's about. That's not our goal. Our goal is simply to connect to our Heavenly Father and to look through the words of a prayer. Now, at that time, Jesus' choice of words, our Father, was really scandalous. And at the time, God was not thought about in that personal way yet, right? I mean, in all 39 books of the Old Testament, Father is only used to describe God the Father 14 times. 39 books, the entire Old Testament, only mentioned 14 times as Father, right? Most of those came as you're talking about the nation of Israel. He is our national Father. And there are a couple of times where it refers to one or two specific individuals, but again, it was God the Father saying, I am your Father, you are my child. But for someone to claim God as their direct, personal Father was just not done. It wasn't done until Jesus came along. Because see, Father was Jesus' favorite name for God. Remember we said Old Testament 14 times, tops. That's the way God was called the Father. But Jesus, in the Synoptic Gospels, right, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, used it 65 times. In the book of John, Jesus used the word Father referring to God over 100 times. That was incredibly bold of him to do so. And that's why the religious leaders at that time tried to stone him to death. Because what he was saying was bold. They understood, you're claiming to be the Son of God. That's not right. That's brazen. That's bold. You can't make those claims. And so here, as Jesus is teaching us how to pray, what he's saying is that you too can be that bold and that brazen when you pray. He's our daddy too. God is your Father. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father. That word Abba there is not just father or dad. It's like saying daddy, right? It's endearing. It's the word a child would use as his father scoops him up in his arms. You would hear him call out, daddy. It's not God's identity, right? Like we'd fill out a medical form. He is the Father. Check. No, it's character. It's a relationship. He's my Abba. He's my daddy. Now, I know for some of us, we didn't necessarily know our dads, or we didn't have a relationship with him. And so this image of a personal father is hard for us to understand. And if that's you this morning, you need to know that Scripture says, Psalm 68:5, he was a father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God is a father to anyone who never had a father. You didn't grow up with a dad in your life. Guess what? You got one now. Right? When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are adopted into his family and he becomes your heavenly father, your Abba. I also know some of us had to deal with abusive fathers. And so this image of a personal father is not only difficult to understand, it's a picture we'd just rather not go there with. And if that's you this morning, you need to know plain and simple that your heavenly father is nothing like your earthly father. Your heavenly father is perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, "But you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect." You also need to know that your heavenly Father will never hurt you, and he will never abandon you. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "He will never fail you or abandon you." He is the perfect picture of what a father should be. And this is important for us to understand this, because if we can embrace this image that Jesus gave us as God, as our Father, and allow ourselves to know him that way, then our prayer life will grow powerfully. Right? I mean, if you can picture it in your head, if you can picture maybe a small child that's an orphan, being adopted by a father, maybe meeting for the very first time, and that father gets down there on his level, maybe on one knee, and he looks that child in the eye, and he tells that child, "You're my son now, or daughter. I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to take you home with me, and I'm going to take care of you the way that a father should take care of his child. Whatever is mine is going to be your inheritance. Everything that I have is yours. I will always forgive you. You're going to mess up. It's going to be okay. I'm going to always forgive you for that. I will never abandon you. I will never betray you. I will never hurt you. You're now a part of my family," right? It's a big family. You got lots of brothers and sisters. "And I'm going to wrap you up in my grace." And you might not understand what that means, but one day you will, and you need to know that I'm going to wrap that around you. Can you picture that? The beginning of that relationship? It's going to be tentative in the beginning. You can almost see the child looking with big eyes saying, "Can I believe this guy? Can I not believe this guy?" Conversations are going to be awkward. Child might be afraid to ask for things in the beginning because he doesn't want to rock the boat. Until the child slowly starts to accept and realize, this is his family. This is my father. This thing is for real. He really does love me. He makes me a priority. And each time they engage together, the conversations and the relationship grows deeper and deeper until they really know and understand each other. Right? This doesn't happen because the father pushes the relationship on the child. It just happens as the child understands more and more about the character of the father. And as the child is drawn in by the father's love. That's what it's like to learn how to pray. Right? I mean, sometimes I think we can make it so complicated at times. Right? There are books written about it. There are strategies. And those are helpful, but it doesn't have to be that complicated. Because really, learning to pray is as simple as a child learning to be in relationship with their father. You want to know how to pray? Don't read a book. Don't go to religious people. Look for a child with a loving father who adores them, and watch how this child approaches his father. Right? I mean, that's the model Jesus gives us. God as a father who loves us so much. And he tells us, you know, after Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, in the very next chapter, he talked about how much the Father loves us and will give us, right? He said, Matthew 7:9, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake?" Of course not. "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" God knows how to give us good things, right? He wants to give us good things. We don't have to be afraid about being bold about asking him for good things. And I got to tell you, as a father of three sons that come to me all the time, they come to me without any reservation at all. Sometimes I wish they had reservation, but they don't. They don't have any. They say, "Hey, Dad, would you buy this for me?" How many people would wander up to someone on the street, "Would you buy this for me?" No, but they do that. "I know what I want for Christmas already, Dad, and for my birthdays for the next 15 years. Dad, I need your help with homework. What's the answer here?" "Just, I don't want to need to know how to do it. Just tell me what the answer is, Dad." That sounds like some of our prayer lives, doesn't it? "I don't need to know all that. Just tell me what the answer is." "Dad, I messed up again." Or, "Dad, can you help me fix this thing?" Every single day, those three guys approach me with unrestrained boldness because they know how much I love them. And they believe that I will help them if they need it. Now, if one of those three guys ever came up to me and they said, "Dearest Father, I beseech thee, please listen to the request of your humble child," after I got up off the floor from fainting, I would just say, no. What do you want? What do you need? Just talk to me. You know I love you. What's going on? Just speak your mind to me, right? I'm not going to listen to my kids anymore because they have fancy words. In fact, I know them so well, I know when they're being fake with me, right? I don't want that. I just want to help because I love them, and I want them to be real with me. Really, really real with me. I want them to share everything with me. I want them to share what makes them happy. I want them to share what makes them sad. I want to know it all. Right? That's what God wants from us. He wants to know it all. Because I know as a father, if I can help, if it's good for me to help, I'm going to help. And if I'm going to help my child in those situations, how much more is our Heavenly Father going to help us in our situations? If we want to increase our prayer lives and our relationship with God, we need to start being real with Him. Maybe hang around some of those families that just copy the boldness of those kids that you see, right? Because that's the way God wants us to approach Him, with boldness. That's what He desires of us. He just wants us to be real with Him. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne room of God." That's how we should approach Him. And our prayer should be something that we only engage in with God, our Heavenly Father. It's not something that is only within ourselves. Right now, that doesn't mean we can't pray silently. We can. God hears us when we pray silently because He is all-knowing. He knows our thoughts. But there are some Eastern non-Christian religions, maybe sometimes through yoga or meditations or other practices, that try to get us to go into ourselves for prayer. But that's not what we believe. Right? We never go into ourselves for prayer. We always go out to our Heavenly Father. And there are some people who actually might consider themselves to be Christians who use an old pagan practice of prayer labyrinths for Christian prayer. Prayer labyrinths originated in pagan religions, and they're usually in the shape of a circle. And the idea behind them is that as you work your way from the outside to the middle in that winding path, as you go deeper and deeper into the circle, you go deeper and deeper into yourself till you arrive at the center of your own existence, right, your own consciousness. As believers, our destination is never ourselves. That's our start, and we are desirous to move towards God. He is always our destination for prayer. And we don't need a ritual to find Him. He's not hiding from us. He is always near us, right? Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is close to all who call on Him." Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. We always reach out to God, never into ourselves. Some other people believe that God is in all things. Right? That God is some impersonal force in the mountains and in the trees. They don't believe this either. Right? That's pantheism, or what we might now call avatarism, right? People who engage in pantheism, they believe there is no Heavenly Father or Creator God who is separate from creation. They believe it's a force that is in everything, so prayer is just living in the flow of nature with an unnamed personal force type thing, right? That is not what we believe as Christians. We pray to our Heavenly Father who has a name. It is Jehovah in English or Yahweh in Hebrew. He is a sovereign God who loves all of His creation and loves all of the people in creation, but He is separate from creation. And since, you know, we're being purposefully clear today about who we're praying to and who we're not praying to, I also want to acknowledge that simply because someone recognizes the fact that there is a God, or that they know a God, does not mean that we're praying to the same God. We don't pray to the same God as Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Buddhists, Hindus, or Muslims. Now, we can pray for these people, but we can't pray with them, because we have a different Heavenly Father. It's a different family altogether. We are adopted in this family of God through Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, and He is our big brother in this kingdom of God. The God we worship is the triune God of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And none of those other religions worship or pray to that God. They don't. They will tell you they won't, and they don't. I know that can sound offensive to some people, but frankly, I think we should be a little more worried about offending our Heavenly Father when we pray than we should be about offending other people. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't respect and love those people from different faiths. We do, and we will continue to love and respect. We just can't pray with them. It's a different Father. And actually, if you ever have the chance, it would be awesome if you could seize that opportunity, right? I'd love to pray with you. Let me tell you about the God that I pray to. Let me tell you about His Son Jesus and what He did for you. Use that as an opportunity to talk to someone. Because if we really love someone, then we recognize the fact that they too need to know our Heavenly Father. Eternity is a real thing, right? God is a real thing. And there is only one way to Him. John 14:6, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." This also includes prayer to saints and angels, which I know some denominations of Christianity practice, but that too is not biblical, right? And it's not what we believe. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one God means we only pray to God, our Heavenly Father. And only one mediator means we pray to Him using the name of Jesus, whose sacrifice for our sins allowed us to become part of that family of God. You know, if the scriptures are clear about anything, they're clear about how God feels about idols. And idols are those things that replace the one true God, that replace Him in our lives, that replace Him in our worship, that replace Him in our prayer. Exodus 23:4 says, "You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea." Because while our Heavenly Father is a perfectly kind and loving daddy, nothing will bring His wrath more than someone trying to lead His children astray. Parents, can you relate to that? I mean, Maria and I, like all parents, always try to be kind and loving to everyone we meet. But let somebody try and lead our children down a destructive path that I know will hurt them, and the smiles will drop and the gloves will come off. Right? Ever heard that saying, "Don't get between a mama bear and her cubs"? Right? Doesn't hold a candle to getting between God and His children. Let me tell you, as we begin this new sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, I'd like all of us to take this opportunity to reflect and re-energize our own prayer lives. Maybe start a prayer journal for the first time. Or if you're like me, start it for the 15th time, right? Spend some time this week on the idea of God as our Heavenly Father, right? Are we approaching Him that way? Is He my Abba? Do I approach God with the same boldness that I would approach my own dad? Or as my boys approach me? Go to Him with newfound boldness and get to know Him more. Allow yourself to grow in that relationship and spend a little more time in prayer. Maybe ask God, "What are the next step in my prayer life? God, I want to know You more. I want to be a man of prayer. I want to be a woman of prayer. What does that look like?" It's not going to look the same way for every one of us. It'll be different. But every one of us can grow our relationship with God, our Father. We can have a newfound boldness with Him. There's nothing fancy or special about the way that we do it. There's no secret formula. Just approach Him as a child. And honestly, if something I talked about this morning made you uncomfortable, I invite you to come and talk to me about it, or come and talk to Carrie. Because God could be trying to clarify or solidify His role in your life as your one and only Heavenly Father. Because God's word is true. And Scripture tells us there is but one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus, His Son. And this is the way that He taught us how to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for being so clear in Your instructions with Your disciples. You know, Lord, that we need clear and simple teaching, especially when it comes to prayer, because it's not something that comes naturally for us. And Lord, sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we get confused in the ways that we pray, because there are a lot of images that come at us in this world. We pray that as we're sorting out our prayer lives, Lord, You help us return to Your word, which we know is true, so that we can pray the way that You called us to pray, which is only to You. We pray this morning that You would help us to embrace You as our loving Heavenly Father, that You would help us to come to You with the boldness of children and share our lives with You, to be real with You, nothing fake, Father. We know Your word says we should come boldly. Sometimes, though, Lord, we admit we're scared. We're scared sometimes it might be disrespectful. Sometimes we might just not feel worthy enough. So I pray that whatever reasons we might have that would prevent us from being bold with you, Lord, that you would bring healing in that area. Strip down barriers or whatever is necessary that we can start growing in that relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son Jesus to pay the price for our sins, that we could be in relationship with you. Thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you that you love each one of us as your dear and special child. Help us to see ourselves in that picture we looked at this morning of that Heavenly Father adopting his son, and to hear those things that you told that child like you're saying them directly to us. That we are your son or daughter now, that we have your name, that you're going to take us home one day, and until that time, you're going to take care of us until we get there. And whatever is yours, Father, will be ours. And you will always forgive us, even when we make mistakes. You're going to forgive us, that you will never abandon us, you will never betray us, that we're now part of your family. We've got these lot of brothers and sisters here at Northside, Father God, that we thank you for. And thank you for wrapping us in your grace, that we might not always understand, but we are so thankful for. Help us to draw closer to you this day, this week, and our entire lives. We love you, Abba. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.